Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Thank you for your truth, Lord. We speak spirit of wisdom and revelation. We speak understanding of your word. Thank you, Father. Truly, true understanding, light. No ideas of man, not what I think, not what that other person thinks. We are not interested in that. We are interested only in what you say. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we've been in a few study series now titled Saving Your Soul. Saving Your Soul. And we'll see today's subject, do not frustrate the grace of God. Remember how last time we saw aligning our thoughts? How to align our thoughts, but now we'll see, do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm going to start here with a few words or our foundational text, which we'll see today. So in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. If you just see that first part of the verse, it indicates that the grace of God could be in vain. It could be in vain. Not the grace itself, but in you. And by his grace, I am what I am. I'm going to read it one more time. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored, we'll be seeing that word labored, more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now we're going to see some words here before continuing. Here we see the word vain. Very interesting word. Many synonyms means that the word of God is useless. I know that's a very ugly word, but that's what this means. Useless, ineffective, or fruitless. What does fruitless mean? It does not produce fruit. Hollow, empty, without effect, without foundation, lacking substance. The seat that you're sitting in right now has substance. In this case, the word here would mean lack of substance, lacking solidity, lacking reality, according to the Dictionary of the Royal Spanish Academy. This is the same definition practically that it gave me in the Greek, which is why I put the Greek word here. Practically the same thing. They're very ugly words. So imagine if someone were to call you useless, ineffective. You're hollow. You're empty. That's very bad. You're fruitless. You don't produce any fruit. So the grace of God could be, with as powerful as it is, could be fruitless or not produce in your life. The other word here, according to its subject, is the word frustrate. Frustrate here, the first definition, to render something useless, very similar to what we saw in the word vain. Render ineffective, impede, ruin, destroy, disgrace, truncate, or spoil. So the word of God could frustrate in your life. In this moment, as I'm speaking, it could be that a person that's watching me through television or radio, or here, it could be perhaps people have been exposed to a good word, an excellent word, a good teaching, but their lives could be a disgrace. And the word has not worked for anything in them. Or some people are headed towards reaping disgrace. And the reason is, it's not that God doesn't love them, or the grace of God doesn't work. There's something very interesting in the grace of God. The grace of God does not guarantee that you will prosper in itself. The grace of God does not guarantee victory in itself. They use a logic. They say, oh, if God loves me and everything's by grace, then everything will work out. Well, not exactly. Because grace was already extended through our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I said? Grace was already extended. But grace isn't always received. You see the difference in words. One thing is grace extended, and one thing is if grace was received. To receive it, you need faith. For grace to be received, you need faith. That grace can be activated, you need faith. There's a reason why the Lord told me in 2011. Message of faith, message of the Lord Jesus, principles of the kingdom. But he told me in the year 2011, more than a decade ago. Now I understand why. I see it better now. Now one more time, what did I tell you? I said that the grace of God does not guarantee that you will prosper in itself. Grace of God needs to be received. The power of grace needs to be activated through faith. Now, for a moment here, we're going to see all of this. Technically speaking, the price was paid for salvation. In Titus 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation is his past tense. In the Spanish translation says that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So past tense here, now future tense. It's already appeared or manifest. In the Spanish, it means manifest here, this word appeared. Legally speaking, I hope you understand this because I've taught it for years, and even with that, people still don't understand this. Legally speaking, spiritual, the price was paid so that all humanity could be saved. So legally speaking, the price was paid for. Salvation was already paid for. God, or the Lord Jesus, notice this, is not saving anyone else currently. Today, as I'm speaking, the Lord is not saving anyone. Millions of Christians don't understand what I'm saying. Especially if some of you could say, but Brother Hughes, today in the afternoon before coming here, I testified to my cousin of the Lord Jesus and he received the Lord. Jesus saved him today and 4 in the evening. No, your cousin took hold of salvation. Legally speaking, God is not saving anyone. Legally speaking, God isn't saving anyone right now. The same. Nor is he making anyone prosper. What happens is you and I, now using the faith of the Lord Jesus, we take hold of the benefits of the grace of God. Another way of understanding it, apart from taking hold, you take hold of it as if grabbing something with your hand. Another way of understanding is we also release the power of God, or we receive the the laws of sowing and reaping. Legally speaking, using legal terms, God isn't saving anyone. More so, we are taking hold of salvation. The big difference. Millions of Christians don't understand this. Some would be surprised with what I'm going to say. God bless some of them. Perhaps in other countries that they see me, perhaps they're thinking that I'm preaching heresies. Now, why do I say this as a bad confession? No, you don't confess it, Brother Hughes. No, everything that I say that happens are things that I have already gone through and go through this day. It's part of persecution. Part of persecution, all criticism. All things that go against, like criticism and this and that, this isn't like this and the other. Or when people speak against what we preach, it comes into the category of persecution. But you know what? I'm open to that. The average Christian doesn't like to be criticized. Doesn't like to be made felt bad, especially today in the era of social media. We all just want to receive likes and nice comments. Oh, I have some news for you. If you're not bumping heads with the devil, means you're going in the same path he is. Part of persecution. Now you have to understand persecution. If I, perhaps tonight, Nubia would have come up here and says, Brother Hughes, I have some news to give you, some bad news. My husband left me and my children and went with another woman, and he abandoned the church as well. So they're going to pursue me. But when I say persecute in the bad way, they're going to criticize, they're going to curse me, they're going to speak ill of me. And I could say, oh, it's just persecution. Well, yeah, it's true, but I provoked it. It's very different. It's of the devil as well. I provoked it. But if you want what is good, then you will suffer. You will be criticized. They'll say, oh, it's too much church. They're going to say that there's other things to do, not just to be in church, serving God. You're a fanatic because you read your Bible. That you're a fanatic because you say what's right and what's wrong in the area of politics. They're going to say, preach the gospel and the word. Don't speak of politics. What do you think's in the word? Do you know that God dealt with politicians? Haven't you read the Bible? What was that man's name? Abimelech, and the one who wanted to sleep with Sarah. And said, don't sleep with that woman. Remember? From then, God is dealing with politicians. With Pharaoh and Herod, all of pagan kings in the Old Testament, with Nebuchadnezzar. Then you come into the time of the grace of God. And, well, in this case of the law, with the Gospels, with Herod, with four Herods. And then the Apostle Paul, with the Roman Empire. And then after this, you go to the book of Revelations. Pastors of the seven churches had to deal with pagan people and with the governors. What do you think that is? That's just politics. So when people tell me that, there are people tell me things. More than 20 people have told me, and I understand, not to criticize. They tell me with a good heart, Brother Hughes, don't speak that so that they don't criticize you. They tell me with a good heart. Some have told me, no, you're crazy, you shouldn't speak of that. But that's another side of it. But I know what I'm doing. I know what the Lord called me to do. I thank the advice that some of them give me, but I know what I have to do. Amen. Have they ever told you that? Oh, you're a pastor. You're speaking of the word. What do you think I'm talking about? More than 2,000 videos are on the YouTube channel Word of Faith Ministries, without counting what's in our section of Bible studies. You should download the app. It's free on your phone. Just like you download all other things on your phone, you download the app. Something good and of excellent quality. Haven't you seen what we have? It's top-notch quality. Amen. Glory to God. Everything that we do is first class for the Lord. Top notch. So God isn't healing anyone or saving anyone. Merely the manifestation. But grace itself does not guarantee victory. It has to be mixed in with faith. Now another point that I'm just remembering is in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains on entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The gospel has been preached. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You have to mix it in with faith. Not being mixed with faith. So grace, you have to mix it with faith. But then the grace of God, you can enjoy it. There are people who do not understand this. Or there are people who are still bound to the debaucherous acts or use the grace of God as licentiousness instead of freedom. And both will take you to a premature death and a miserable life. Not just poverty or illnesses. Simply, the grand majority of Christians, this is truth, this is an observation of what I see, they live in depression. They're never happy. And I've had the opportunity in more than 20 years pastoring. And almost 24 in the ministry preaching the word of God and traveling different places around the world. I've seen one thing. You can have a Christian that perhaps does not have a good home or perhaps not a good car. Perhaps they won't be very well off financially. But other Christians that live better, that have everything, they don't lack. And you will always, both sides, both Christians, are miserable in their lives. They're not joyful. They have no pleasure. They're not happy. They need the world. They need to see pornography. They need to be stuck in a phone, in social media, to distract themselves. Because it's not what you have. More so, it's not what you have. Speaking of the material things, but the revelation of what you have in Christ and of the love of God. Amen. That's why I said in our last session, you don't need more faith. You need less. And somewhere astounded, I said less unbelief. Amen. Less stuff from the world. You continue filling up with the world and you will be frustrated and the world will be frustrated. Doesn't matter how much you have, how much you have for yourself. Money, a career, a profession, have it all. You will still be miserable in this life. If not, why do we have people who apparently have everything, in quotation marks, types of artists that many Christians admire, and they end up committing suicide? Amen. No matter what you have, you will always be miserable. Some years ago, and this was before the pandemic, started praying more. Came out from the pandemic, but that good habit stayed in me. And the Lord told me, son, when you started learning these of the principles of faith and healing, and you saw that in 6 months, got out of that illness, then you had a good job, you started prospering financially, you stay in this instead of preaching faith. For love of me or out of convenience. And you know what I said? You know, when I was praying, I had my eyes closed. And I was listening to that from the Lord, and I opened my eyes. I smiled and I said, Father, I'll tell you as that prophet said, only you, Jehovah, knows. And right there, I smiled. I was quiet for a few seconds, and I said, you know the answer, Lord. And now I see it. I hadn't seen it before. If you hadn't asked me, it wouldn't have been brought to my memory. But I saw that it was more of a convenience. But now, praise the Lord, because I believe that I love you. And I'm learning to love you more. Hallelujah. And he spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me with this. And this has been something very good to me. Very, very good. Yesterday we were with Sister Jimenez, Brother Osmar, at their home in Tucson with Pastor Valdez's. And in Habakkuk 3, this will help you. Not be miserable. Change your lifestyle. This may seem like a bad confession, but if you look at it, the light of the second covenant, the grace of God, you'll see that it'll keep you very well balanced. I'll explain it in a moment. Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail. Who likes olive oil? That's what this means. I have very good olive oil that I eat at home. Olive oil, extra virgin olive oil from Spain. Very good. Glory to God. Tomorrow we're going to have that, right, love? Now notice this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may not be cut off from the fold, there may no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Hallelujah. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't believe the Lord for a better car or a better home if it is that you need it, or clothes or something of the sort. But while the manifestation comes, you don't get frustrated. In other words, is if you had never seen the healing that you're believing for or preaching for, if you've never, there was never financial prosperity, you would not be frustrated. You would never abandon me. Or abandon my things. This is when he spoke to me. I said, why did you stay? Out of convenience? Or because you loved me? Instead of saying, oh Lord, you know why I loved you. He knows all. The answer that the question that he gave me was not because he didn't know. He knows, but he asked me but to make me see something. Not like God is so stupid he doesn't know. No, of course he knows. Notice this same verse in the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord that I came to church. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the calf barns are empty, and I was sharing this with the pastors, and the stalls are empty. The horse stalls are empty. There was some time where I live, we would take care of up to 40 horses. And I've shared this with you. That certain decisions that some leaders in the countries take can provoke where people would use their money, would rent a stall, and we'd charge them for having them there. And they would literally say, you know what? I can no longer pay this. I can either I continue paying my home or the car or the insurance. Or I keep paying here the stable. Little by little, these last 4 years. But you know what? You never saw me blame anyone. It's the time of seeking God, seeking direction. And from there, you have enough following the laws of sowing and reaping in the financial area. Continue speaking. Continue acting. But we act by faith. And not blame God as carnal people and children in Christ do. What would a carnal person do? Oh, and I tithe and I give. If I told you how much it is per stall, you'd be scared. How much we charge per month. But you know what? We sought direction. Last time I called Brother Rafael and I told him, I want you to do this job for me, do some, make some modifications. I'll be putting this type of animals here. And I'm going to be increasing the sale of animals. God always has the answer. Instead of crying and blaming God and saying this and the other, it's true. I told you, the devil can use the climate, can use people, can use governments against you. But he who walks by faith, instead of crying and blaming someone else. So why do we speak certain things of politics? Because the world and majority of Christians do not understand what I understand, what you and I understand. They don't understand faith, direction of God, the laws of sowing and reaping. And while those people, haven't you noticed how difficult this is? Without whining, this is very difficult. Because a person can be born again and suppose that they're truly born again. And now, instructing them and teaching the word of God. And from here up until they mature, and if you notice certain Christians, years in the word, just as carnal. You see, it's not easy. I don't know if you've noticed, it's not easy. You see that it's not just being born again. Oh, glory to God, someone's born again. But now it's instructing them, correcting them with the word, renewing their soul, changing their way of thinking. It's difficult because you have to deal now with their free will. Why do you think some people mature more than others? Not that one is more mature than the other or something like that. More so it's because one is more submissive than the other and receives with humbleness the word that can change their soul. You understand now? James 1:21 and 22, the Amplified Classic. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. So someone can be born again. And all of us actually here. Get rid of all that uncleanness and outgrowth of wickedness. And then, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your souls. You see? So what happened? What happens with certain people? That some of them will not get rid of that uncleanness and that outgrowth of wickedness. It's those ideas, those erroneous concepts that we may have, our own ideas in our own culture, in our family, or in our way of thinking, the way that we were created. Some struggle with this last part. With a humble, gentle, modest spirit. Some may seem that they're maturing, but then suddenly, boom, Why? Because during the time that it may seem that they were getting better, they were also putting pressure in their minds and frustrating the grace of God.
The word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
You see, it's not easy. It's not easy to carry to run a church. I some time ago I spoke with a young man about 25 years old, son of a pastor. He told me, smiling, "Brother Hughes, I'm going to start helping my dad. He already ordained me as an associate pastor. When my dad retires, I'll continue the church." With a smile, and I looked at him and almost told him, "You're so innocent. You're so innocent. God bless you. You don't know what you're getting involved with." I didn't tell him that. I thought it. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying this complaining. It's more so, it's just not easy carrying a church like this. A church, speaking of the church, you need people who will help, administrators, people help with the children, ushers, you know. You cannot just, and sometimes you cannot trust everyone. Not everyone are as interested as others. So a certain group will carry everything. You need finances as well. You need many things. Cooperation as well. Cooperation of those, of the congregation, of the church, of the leaders. There's cooperation. It's not easy. There's a lot of attack. What would happen from here to 25, 30 years? I don't know. I'll later speak on that in later on. What else is going to happen with the churches? Not everyone is as interested. There's a man, I won't mention his name, it's a well-respected man, spiritual son of Papa Hagen. For years, they had services on Fridays and Sunday, and they had to remove the Friday service because only a few would come and the service, and it was a burden. And the Lord, he prayed, and the Lord told him, remove that service. And I told Nubia, who would not want to be in that church? He's a man that Nubia and I know, and we respect him a lot. Wow. People aren't interested nowadays. Nowadays, everyone wants to see it online. What I'm saying is, God does not change. Glory to God, the majority of you are very faithful. And I'm very thankful in the Lord when I speak of the pastors of you. I almost show you off. But what would happen? Because Christians have not understood that God does not change. God is the same today and forever. Regardless of how much technology advances and where this is headed to, God will not change. God will never mold to the man. Man has to mold to God. There's a purpose of what we do. There's a purpose in the local church. There's a purpose in growing the children in the Lord in a secure place. There's a purpose. If we understand it, which is why these subjects, because when the Lord told me you would preach faith in the grace of the Lord Jesus and the principles of the kingdom, first I had to apply it to my life. And it changed my life, understanding this. My relationship with God. From my relationship with God, my relationship with my children and my wife. When you told me, could it be a month or 2 months in this time of the date that we're in today? Because this teaching, perhaps someone will see it months or even a year later. Someone told me, time that we're recording this, a sister here from the church told me, Pastor, what a blessing that I see Anthony helping you playing the guitar and then helping you to translate in English and multimedia. And I see how what a hard worker he is. I find him in the mornings in Douglas. Very well behaved, very well educated. You can tell that he's been working with his work clothes. And I told him the same thing that I told other people. I said, it's not just because he's my son. Because this is to criticize anyone, but there are many children of pastors that, as I said, I've traveled to this country for many years. And many of their children are lost in the world. More so, I explained, it's putting to work this. It's not frustrating the grace of God. Putting to work what's here. It's praying in the Spirit of God will tell you what's going on with your children. Because there are parents who say, well, I give very good testimony, my wife and I give very good testimony. Yeah, that's good. And I encourage you to do this, to follow along. But I can assure you the Spirit of the Lord would be speaking to you and saying, hey, something's happening in the life of your son or your daughter. Could even reveal it to you. A very horrendous error that parents are doing to this day, Christians and heathen, is giving a phone to a 10 or 12 year old. Because the very same parents are so busy in their phones, in their social media, that they prefer to give them a phone so that the kid could just not be bothering them. But you're delivering them to the devil. What I'll tell you is something very personal in my relationship with God, something very personal between Nuvia, my children, and I. I don't pull this on anyone, but haven't you noticed? My daughters are all older than 15 years old. When was the last time that you got an invitation for a quinceañera? We don't celebrate any of that. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but many times it's cultural. The daughter's young girls are already 14, 15 years old, and the family of at school, the quinceañera, and then it's 16, and we don't celebrate any of that. We never permitted anyone to influence my daughters with that, nor did I impose that on them. The reason is because I wanted to put in them the culture of the Word of God. But silence. Some of you are already being condemned of, oh, I spent thousands of dollars on the quinceañera for my daughter. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone with that. I don't know if you noticed how I never said that what I'm going to tell you is something very personal, and it's due to my relationship with God. But the Lord instructed me how to put in my children the culture of the kingdom of God. And trust me, the Holy Spirit is very wise, and the Holy Spirit loves your children more than you love them. The Holy Spirit loves your children more than you love them. There are parents who think, oh, there's no one that loves my children more than I do. Well, if you'll speak it compared to flesh and blood, perhaps so, here on this earth. But you forget that God loves them more, and that God is more interested than you are in their own good. And if you pray and spend time, you'll hear the voice of God saying this. If you don't understand everything that he's speaking to you, say, Lord, son, come here. Daughter, come here. What are you hiding from me? And what do you mean? No, nothing. Perhaps you don't know it, but everything. You heard something here. You perceived something. That something's not right here. I don't know about you, but my children, they don't know how to lie. I can see their face. I know when they're lying to me. Actually, they no longer lie because I taught them, don't lie to me, never lie to me. Because if I find you in that lie, and I gave them my word, there are men who don't take their place as parents because they're scared of their wives. And I'm not promoting here being a macho. I'm promoting that the father takes his place as the head and the wife, her place in the family. I grew them up with this. If they lied to me or gave me a terrible report. Some years ago, a service was over, like today, like a midweek service, Tuesday or Thursday, and then we were in this part here. And then I turned around, and I just turned. And they were giving a bad report from Anthony to Nubia. How did I know? I could hear. No, I didn't hear it. But the moment that I turned, I thought, what's happening? And my son turned to look at me. And just seeing his eyes, his face turned red and he started crying, and I knew, oh, that was a bad report. He knew. There was no excuse, there was no, not this time, or please forgive me. No, he knew. Pastor once told me, you have to give them grace. You have to give the children grace. And look at how they grew up. One thing is grace. Another thing is you have to give them grace. But sometimes if they don't understand grace, you got to give them law. Then they themselves return to grace. But there's an assured victory. Now, of course, again, there has to be example from your parents. But some of you are still at in time. If you have your children young, or it doesn't matter the age that they have, if they live still under your roof. Because two of my children are of age now. But you have to understand, if any of you children are already of age, doesn't matter what age you're at, 20, 30, 40, if you live under the roof of your parents, they have the spiritual authority over you. And you have to understand that. Because very quickly, well, I'm already an adult, but using the same food and light that the parents provide. I told you that story, right? I was 18 years old and I arrived very late, took my boots off. And I said, I'm going to grab some water. Turned on the lights in the kitchen, and my dad was right there. The first thing I saw was that giant 14 size shoe right there. His legs crossed. A giant thing. He had big legs. I said, oh, Lord, I know that foot. And where are you coming from? Oh, it got very late, but I'm already an adult. And I started saying this and that. And he's like, oh, okay. Follow me. There we go. And then I'm seeing the big old bag that he had. Where is this guy going? You know, he had, you know, he had his underclothes on. He didn't have the belt on, so I was like, okay, well, he doesn't have the belt with him. Then he opened the door, and it was dark. It was very cold. Oh, the cold of Hermosillo, but still, I was used to the cold back then, and everything was dark. It was the middle of the night. I said, okay, go. Go ahead. I said, where? You said that you're already a man, that I can't tell you anything. A man takes care of himself. A man pays his own food and everything, and pays his own light. The spending of his house. And I looked out there. I looked at him. I looked at myself with my boots and my jacket. I stuck my nose. I was very cold. And I said, Normally I'd tell him dad, but, you know, I'd just say pa when I was trying to be more submissive. What do you say if we just talk tomorrow? You have to scold me or something, just because I'd like to go to sleep now. And I changed the tone at first. I'm already an adult with the little few hairs that I had here. I went to sleep, and then the next day I woke up, looked out, trying to see, looked to the side with a white flag, you know? There was no one there. Everything's calm at home. Everything was at peace. I went to the kitchen. My mom was there. Hey, Mom, where's my dad? Oh, he's not here. Oh, did he tell you anything? No. Oh, okay. Why? What was it about? Oh, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you next time. I'll tell you later. I said, I'm going to go shower. I showered, and the instant I got out, I was shaving. And you know what? I shaved the little mustache that I had. Forget about it. I was way too comfortable. The bed was very comfy. I had food at home. Hallelujah. Very quickly. I mean, nowadays you can't tell anyone anything, because don't tell him anything. You're traumatizing him. The foolish moms. You're traumatizing her. You have a society that's a disgusting society. But you know what? We're frustrating the grace of God. We're frustrating the grace of God. Which is why we don't see things the world. The world is influencing you. You have to understand this. Go to Ephesians. About to close up. Oh, glory to God. That's what some of you say. One more time. Verse 17. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. They lost all sensibility. Seems that there were some Christians here that would fall in that. They were like heathen, acting like heathens. You know what happens? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. But if you continue this way, I'm not accusing anyone of this, I'm not saying you're in this way, but I'm saying if you continue this way, there's a possibility, a pending possibility here. Notice what the Apostle Paul said to the brothers there in Ephesians. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, if you have truly heard of him and have been taught by him, according to the truth that is in Jesus, according to the past way of living, let go of the old man. grows according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on that new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do not give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor what with his hands and what is good that he may have to him who has need. How different to the culture that we have of today. How many Christians of these times are sharing the social security of their children to other people so that they could get half of what they received those income taxes? How many people are legal residents and live in Mexico when they should live here, and then they get into issues and say, oh, it's because Trump is a racist. Christians living that way. Children of God. Because they've let their culture, you know it. How many people do not receive help from the government, money, and then they go and sell it to the people here in Sonora? Not Christians, not just people of the world. You know what you're doing if you're a believer? You're frustrating the grace of God. Christians buying stolen tools. When you know that it's stolen. This is the truth. Which is why I'm not very famous here. But you don't come to hear lies or diluted gospels. All I do is tell you the truth. Remember a moment ago, I said that not everything that is given is received. Well, what I do is share the truth. Now, how much you receive it. Not on me. I just share the truth. People give place to the devil. People lie. They behave like people of the world. You know why? Because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe what they are. Some perhaps were born again, but don't even believe what is being said. According to me, I'm helping you. And I say this to help you. You know, I didn't come here to condemn anyone. Just meditate on this. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone because, as far as I know, none of you are acting on these things of what I mentioned. Even if you were to do it, it's not on me. All I do is tell you with the word and treat you as if you acted in the best way. I wrote something down here that you could understand why we do certain things. For example, the reason why not everyone receives the benefits of the grace of God, speaking what the Apostle Paul said, that not everyone will reap those benefits, is because we are not doing perhaps what the Apostle Paul told us. Go back to where we opened up in our last session, 1 Corinthians, following along. 1 Corinthians 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored. This word here, labored, let's focus on it. More abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This word labored or work, this isn't dead works. Here, this is speaking of works of faith. I'll show you, I'll give you an example. I'll put three things that are normally Christians we act on, but we have to do it in the correct order. For example, you should not pray nor read your Bible so that God can love you. You read your Bible and pray because you understand how much God loves you and you want to have communion with him. With that God that loves you and is your Father. Many Christians pray that God can bless them, but you don't pray for that. But praying is good, do you understand? Amen. You don't come to church, again, to win over the favor of God. It's something that we normally do. Christians are putting these examples. You don't come to church that God can bless you. Again, those would be dead works. Not to win the favor of God. But you come to church more so for the same thing. To continue renewing your mind and understanding more, having better understanding of who you are in Christ. Having better understanding of what God already did in you through the Lord Jesus. Another benefit of coming to the Lord Jesus, here's another example in Hebrews, is to avoid for our hearts to harden towards God. Why? Because apart from the word, there is a bodily anointing there. There's an anointing when we sit down together as brothers and sisters. In Hebrews, go to verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. How different when you see these verses with light of the gospel and not with fear or trembling. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Exhort one of you daily, while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. Notice how it tells you why. Notice 14. Sometimes we read things very quickly and don't see these truths. For, notice how it says, for God will punish you. Or if the rapture occurs, you'll stay here. Notice how it doesn't say that. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast at the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Again, consequences will come, but we shouldn't. In other words, we should not say, I'm not going to depart from the things of God, but consequences don't come. No, that should not be the principal reason. It should be at the end. More so, it should be because I don't want to, because it doesn't go with me, because I'm a child of God, because God loves me and I love him. What about that reason? Doesn't that reason sound better? And at the end, because I'm not dumb and I don't want to be receiving consequences. Notice in Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Exhort, that same word. In Hebrews 6. Just putting simple examples here. Apologies, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold steadfast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice exhorting one another, encourage one another, etc. That's what that word means. There's something good, so then why should we do it? Not necessarily out of fear of consequences, more so because it's good for you, but it's also good to be in that assembly together. There are benefits of it. But it should be born out of your heart. Go to Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, that the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanding the blessings life forevermore. There are good things here. The last thing I'll tell you think it will be of good blessing to you if you understand. Everything that we do is to not frustrate the grace of God, which is why the Bible speaks of falling into his rest. Notice on Hebrews, go back to Hebrews to close this up. Millions, millions, millions of Christians around the whole world do not understand what I'm speaking. Many live in disobedience. They grab the grace of God and just live bound and live out of fear. I tell you the chapter. Hebrews 4 verse 10. For he who has entered his rest. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from he. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same examples of disobedience. Unfortunately, here that the Spanish version deals it as try to. In English, the original King James. Let us labor. That's what Paul said. Let us work to enter into that rest. Another way of saying, make an effort. I don't know if we have a version in Spanish or in English that says, make an effort. Oh, there we go. Thank you. New International Version. Let us therefore make every effort. And where are we going to make that effort? If you speak it for English speakers, if you detain on those words for a moment, let us labor to rest. Doesn't really make sense. Let us labor. Let us work. Let us work to rest. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. And naturally, the words don't make sense. Are we going to work or labor to work? Either you work or you rest, right? What is this referring to? There's a reason why these words are written here. What we have to work on and make an effort is in submitting this flesh. I've told you in other occasions, in other series, you're going to have to purposefully dominate your mind. There are Christians stuck in pornography, stuck in drugs, alcohol. Well, Brother Hughes, some people have asked me, well, does God love me or does he not love me if I'm sin or not? Yeah, God loves you the same. What I'm saying is you're bringing consequences and you're frustrating the grace of God. Farther on ahead in the same series, possibly in the next session, because I've already advanced quite a bit, I'll tell you of that pending danger that there is. We'll see with the Bible, not just of consequences. There's something called, many call it losing salvation. That doesn't exist. Salvation is a gift, and there's a danger where you, out of your own decision, you reject that healing. But again, that pending danger is there, there can be consequences. But instead of being in fear, I like to understand things. But with more reason, say, well, why? So much time in the Lord, so much believing the Lord, growing up in that love towards God. So much maintaining my salvation, my relationship with God. Then later end up in the world? No, that's not for Brother Hughes. That's what you should say. Put your name there. No, that's not for Brother Hughes. I always say that. It's not for Brother Hughes. Not for Brother Hughes. Not for the Hughes family. If you're lost in the world spiritually, if you're in discouragement, you're going to have to make an effort. This is another one. I'm praying to see if I feel. No, forget about it. Forget about feeling. Leave that to the side. You're going to have to make an effort. You can make an effort in your mind, your flesh. and come back to the things of the Lord. You're going to have to make an effort in reading your Bible, but you understand, not so that God can love you, it's for your own benefit. You're going to have to make an effort to. I said there are people who will see this on television, radio, and some have heard for years. Even with that, future, some will still end up lost in the world because they never received. They never received. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Did you receive? Did you understand? What have we sown now in the word that we heard? Amen. Stand on your feet with me and I'll read something here with the word. Help me multimedia, please. As the brothers stand on their feet, the ushers are helping the people.
Lord. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Not from the one. Does a good deed to the one who instructs. You'll be participant of this. Going Word of Faith Ministries to continue reaching with the word in television, radio, internet. Verse 7. Do not be fooled. The Lord can. All that man sows is what he will harvest. And he who sows from the flesh will sow from the flesh. But he who sows in the spirit from his spirit will receive eternal life. You're going to sow eternal life on the word that you heard. You're going to harvest great, great things in your personal life. And the Holy Spirit will bring to memory what changes you need to make. This is what you need to do. Why not? He could say, continue doing this for your edification. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. When I spoke in a generalized way for you. So now when you sow, and we don't sow just for the Lord to bless us, but we give because he blessed us. And what happens when you give, you tap into those laws of harvest and sowing. Those laws of giving and reaping are set in motion and start working in your favor. And that harvest comes. Amen. Just as I told you earlier, the Lord is technically not saving or healing anyone. Technically. So then he's not prospering anyone. So why do we give glory to the Lord? And why do we say, the Lord has prospered me, he has helped me? Well, you know why? Because he is the author of everything, of salvation, of faith, of laws and harvest. He is the one who set everything in motion. It's our responsibility. It's your responsibility that if you're sick, it's your responsibility to manifest that healing. It's not your responsibility. Healing was already given. It's your responsibility to manifest it in your body. Millions of Christians don't understand this. Millions. And certainly, there are interventions that are needed by the Lord and that he makes. And we're going to see it in this series, certain interventions that he moves and acts upon. But even so, he needs your cooperation. And in the majority, you're responsible. People don't like to see that. And people say, Brother Hughes, I've been confessing the word. I've been confessing verses of healing. And I'm waiting for the Lord to do his part. No, the Lord already did what he did. And it's your responsibility to manifest that healing. You see the word, the wording, the way of speaking, it's your responsibility to manifest it, that healing. It's not your responsibility to provide it because it was given. It's your responsibility to manifest it in your body. Oh, so if I'm not healed, is it my fault? What do you want me to say? Maybe in other churches, they'll say, well, yeah. You'll say, well, glory, amen. Because they don't like responsibility. Hallelujah. Amen.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.